Would you bow with me? Oh God, your word is truth. Open up our hearts and our lives now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, and write your word within us so that we would be transformed to be more like Jesus, your living word, in whose name we pray. Amen. Psalm 4 is a prayer for tight spots. This is a psalm of David, a prayer of David. And like many of the psalms, it's bluntly honest, and it grows out of, we don't know the exact situation that David was in, but it grows out of anguish. The opening verse again. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. He's looking back. You gave me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. In the Hebrew, that word distress, you were gracious to me. You gave me relief when I was in distress. That word distress means literally to be trapped in a confined place. God, I was in a tight spot, and you gave me room. You gave me space. This may have been written when David was on the run from his own son, Absalom. You may remember that Absalom led a rebellion against David and wanted to kill him. David was in a tight spot. He had to flee his own capital, Jerusalem. So what do we do when we find ourselves in a tight spot? Maybe some of you can identify with that right now. You feel confined. Circumstances have hemmed you in, and you don't know where to go. You feel trapped. Well, David models for us where to turn. We turn to God, and we pray. I'm going to cover three words, three movements of this psalm. We pray with confidence, we pray with honesty, and we pray in peace. First of all, when you're in a tight spot, pray with confidence. And actually, confidence is almost too small a word to describe the way David is praying here. This isn't just confidence. David prays with boldness, bordering on impudence. That is, if he didn't know who his Father in heaven is. Listen to what he prays again. Answer me when I call, O God. That's an imperative. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me. Hear my prayer. David comes with bold confidence before God. This is not a timid prayer. There's a couple of concepts here. One, first of all, is David's full faith and confidence that God loves him, that God is committed to him, that God is committed to his well-being, and that God will hear him. There's a famous Christian author, and I'm not even going to tell you who it was because that doesn't really make any difference. But in writing about prayer, he gave an illustration from his own boyhood. When he was a boy, his father was chief executive of a very large company. His father was a man who had great responsibility. He oversaw hundreds and hundreds of employees. And for the average person calling his dad's company, you're the average Joe and you want to talk to the guy at the top, good luck. Because there's about 10 layers protecting him and protecting his office you're not going to get to him. But this author writing about this writes that when he was a boy, his dad had a special phone on his desk that was just for family. It was for his wife and his children. And he said, I knew when I dialed that number, no matter how busy my dad was, he would pick up the phone. Dear friends, we have special access to our Father God. He knows our name. And when we call upon him, he hears. In medieval times, the church mistakenly, misguidedly developed this elaborate system of praying to saints. And the thinking was that the saints who have gone on before, and especially the really super holy people that are in heaven now, they have special access to God because they're really near the throne. And so, instead of trying to pray to God, who may be too busy to hear you, pray to one of the saints. And then the saints can plead your cause before the Father. Martin Luther saw that for the bunk that it is, praise God. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven. There's nothing going on in the universe that will keep God from giving you his full attention. David got that, and so he prayed with bold expectation. But there's more. David is not only confident that God will hear, he's confident that God will act, because God has acted to deliver him in the past. That doesn't mean that the psalmist thinks he can prescribe what God will do, or that the solution is going to be exactly what he envisioned or he wanted. But he prays on the basis of past faithfulness. God, you've been faithful in the past. You'll be faithful now. And I'm sure you can identify with this. In my own life, in the moment, I can rarely see exactly what God is doing, especially in trying times. I cannot see, God, what are you doing in this? And how are you going to work this for good? And how are you going to work this out? I can't see, but I can stop. What I can do is I can stop and I look back at the path that my life has taken, and I see that God has been faithful every step of the way. God, you who have been faithful in the past, you will be faithful now. Pray big prayers. David was not afraid to pray a big prayer. Oh God, deliver me. Tim Keller, in his book about prayer, tells a story about Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great had a top general whose daughter was getting married. And so Alexander said to his general, ask me anything you want as a gift for your daughter's marriage. And so the general went off and thought about it for a while, and he wrote down a sum of cash that he wanted to get from Alexander, and it was this absolutely fantastic, impossible sum. This huge. I mean, he was sort of over asking, and not just sort of. And he gave it to Alexander's treasurer, and the treasurer brought it to the king and said, "I expect you're going to want to lop off this guy's head, because he's asked this impossible sum." And Alexander looked at it and he said, "Give it to him. He believes me to be both wealthy and generous. Let's not disappoint him." When you come to God, come with a bold prayer. We don't presume upon God, but ask what your heart desires. When Jesus taught us about prayer, he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And each one of those verbs, ask, seek, knock, each one of those is a verb that implies continuous action. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Pray loudly and insistently, and don't give up. So are you in a tight spot? Come to God with bold confidence and expectation that he will hear your prayer, that he will answer you. Don't come passively, come boldly. And David also responds, and this is an interesting prayer that he prays, because he not only addresses God, he addresses his enemies. In the context of prayer, he speaks to his enemies. I don't even know if I'm assuming they're not even there to hear it, but he's going to tell them anyway what he thinks. He responds with honesty to those who wrongly attacked him. He says, O men, I'm in verse 2. This is verse 2 through 5. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. And then he tells them, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Now, we do need to guard against self-righteousness, but it's telling here that David doesn't have the slightest hesitation of giving his enemies what for. And exposing their lies. And what they're doing is harmful. David responds to them. He reminds them that God responds to the faithful. David's name is being dragged through the mud. They're turning his honor into shame. It probably looks like everyone has abandoned him. And David is reminding them, God has not abandoned me. He will hear my prayer. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears me when I call to him. David knows who he is. He knows that the Lord has set him apart. Christian, when you go to prayer, know who you are. God has called you to himself. You are set apart. You are his child. You belong to him. You're kind of somebody special. A pastor who's now with the Lord, Don Butine, was a mentor of mine when I was a young pastor and a student. And Don liked to tell the story of when he was, back in the 60s and 70s, he was an associate pastor at Hollywood Presbyterian Church down in California. And one of their regular two of their regular worshipers were Jimmy and Gloria Stewart. They'd be in church almost every Sunday if Jimmy wasn't out making a film somewhere. The interesting thing was, Don told me, nobody ever, and of course people in Hollywood I suppose are used to seeing movie stars roaming around, but Don told me that nobody in church ever made a fuss about Jimmy. Nobody hung around him. Nobody bugged him for an autograph. And he said mostly because nobody recognized him. Jimmy had a very clever disguise when he wanted to be incognito. He just didn't wear his toupee. And he was just one more old bald guy. David says to his accusers, in essence, I may not look like much to you, and you may not recognize who I am before God, but God knows who I am. God recognized him. He belongs to God. God set David apart for himself. God hears his prayer. Christian, you belong to God. You are his child. He's called you to himself. If you've professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's because God touched your life and called you to himself and said, you're mine. You don't belong to him because you decided. You belong to him because God decided. And God chose you. When you're falsely accused, when you're slandered, remember who you are. Finally, when you're in a tight spot, having spoken to God and spoken to others, find peace in God. I thought about titling this sermon, How to Get a Good Night's Sleep, because the last verse says, I will lie down and sleep in peace. Remember, David's on the run. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. The last step of prayer, find your peace in God, and don't stop praying until you've found it. Don't stop praying until you're at peace, until your heart's at peace. Listen to verses 6 through 8 again. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put, now David is talking, he says, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abounds. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. There are two ways of relating to God. One way is dependent on circumstances. The other way is not. This is this first way, dependent on circumstances. That's what it's talking about when it says, people say, who will show us some good? Eugene Peterson translates that, why is everyone hungry for more? More, more, they say, more, more. In other words, God, what's in it for me? I will praise you and love you if my circumstances are good, and I will turn away from you if my circumstances are bad, and I will blame you, O God, if my circumstances are bad. That type of relationship with God depends on good times, as David said, when their grain and wine abound. But there's a different way of relating to God. And this way depends on God alone and is satisfied in God alone and not in circumstances. David says in verse 7, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. God gives a joy in the heart that does not depend on circumstances. And then David says he's able to go to bed at night and sleep. How can he do this? Hear verse 8 again. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. In the end, David finds his safety and peace not in his circumstance, but in God alone. Pray to find your peace. Pray to God to find your peace in him alone. And don't stop praying until you get there. David has a deep peace despite his circumstances. Ravi Zacharias, whose books I really recommend if you haven't been exposed to them. Ravi Zacharias says, faith is confidence in the person of Jesus Christ and his power, so that even when his power does not serve my end, My confidence in him remains because of who he is. Our confidence is in our Savior because of who he is, not because of any particular circumstance in my life. So, Christian, know who you are in Christ. You're a child of God. So boldly approach the throne of grace in prayer. God set you apart for himself. God hears when you call. God sent his Son into the world that his blood would cleanse you from every sin. You have an assurance and a hope that can be your anchor even through the most terrible time. And you can pray with boldness. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Let's pray together. Father, we remember that the disciples of Jesus came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Lord, we don't know how to pray either. We're all amateurs at this. And we go in fits and starts. But Father, by your Holy Spirit and by the power of your Son working in us, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray bold prayers of complete confidence in you, knowing that you're our Father, that you love us, and that you are sovereign over all, and you're at work for good. We trust our lives to you in the strong name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.